Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hey, 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 how y'all doing? You know who this is, your girl Dede Leggett, aka The Core Queen. I am back with episode 74 of The Core Queen Chat, y'all. We are almost at the end of season 3. Can you believe it? I can't. I'm ready for a break. But I have an amazing, phenomenal guest today. And before I let y'all see her, I'm going to let y'all know about her. So y'all, listen to this amazing bio, okay? Terry Young, that's her name, y'all. She is more than a top producing realtor. She's a wealth builder, community advocate, and an unstoppable force in real estate. Serving both North Carolina and South Carolina, Terry leads Z3 Carolinas at Lifestyle International Realty, the firm, a powerhouse real estate team ranked in the top 5% of all agents in the Charlotte metro and among the top 3% of real estate teams in the region. With a proven track record of closing 25 plus transactions a year, well above the national average, and negotiating over $300,000 in seller concessions to save clients money, Terry delivers results that speak for themselves. Her 20 plus years as a contracts manager and federal contracting officer sharpened her negotiation skills, strategic thinking, and ability to create winning solutions for clients. Her mission is simple but powerful: serving, educating, and empowering clients to achieve their real estate goals with integrity, commitment, and proven strategies. Whether guiding first-time buyers, move-up homeowners, or investors, Terry is relentless in helping them leverage their real estate as a tool to build generational wealth. Y'all welcome Terry to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm so happy to have you here. Look, Terry, you are super amazing. Like, I met you a few weeks ago.
You're amazing too.
Thank you. And your energy was just everything. You were like, let me come over and talk to these people. They need to know about this stuff. So I was like, hold on. Everybody need to know about this stuff. So I had to bring you on the show.
Yes, I'm so happy because, you know, I lead by education. Mm. Knowledge is power.
Yes. Yes.
And we lack a lot of knowledge when it comes to real estate.
Oh. We do. We do. We absolutely do. Even those of us who have bought houses or just maybe came up on an investment or something, we still don't just know all of the tools and tricks and stuff. You were giving me so much information. I was like, oh, I could do it.
And, you know, it's so many of us that was affected and experienced trauma in 08 and lost homes they're hesitant to do it again.
Before I even get to my questions, I'm glad you said that, because I wasn't even going to talk about that. I'm so glad you said that because I literally experienced that. I was stationed in Fort Walton Beach, Florida.
Okay.
Bought my first house, and then the crash hit. But
I was a part of one of those predatory loans. So I'm thinking, oh, I got all this equity, and then it crashed, and I'm like, my house ain't worth nothing. So I couldn't get out of it. I couldn't sell it. I'm moving. I'm in the military, so I got to go to another base. I'm trying to rent it out. Like, it was the worst experience ever. It took me 12 years to get out of that house. Thank God for President Barack Obama. He signed this some type of executive order to where I could get out of that loan, and it fixed it, and I got to a fixed income, a fixed interest rate to where I could manage. Yeah. And so once I finally got out, I was at my last base, and I was talking to a girl who had just sold a house, and I was like, I'm never buying a house again. I was so mad. Like, she was like, what? She was like, you are fine. You'll be okay. Mm-hmm. I'm like, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And she was talking to me, encouraging me. And that's how I bought this house.
I'm like,
yes.
Thank
Shout
God
out to
her.
Sarita.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, I know a lot of people that experience that, exactly what you talked about, right? But a lot of my friends saw their parents experience it. And so they're like, oh no, I'm not going to buy a house. And I'm like, that's how you build wealth.
Yeah.
That's the foundation.
Yep.
And it was like, but no, I saw my parents buy a home and then we lost it. I was like, understand that, apply those lessons learned and move forward.
Yeah. That's that fear. So, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. Yeah. So tell me, first of all, where you from originally and a little bit about your upbringing.
All right. So originally I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. Okay. I'm not in the house, y'all. So I grew up kind of all around. I was raised by a woman that I later learned was not even a relative of mine's.
Really?
Technically, she raised my father, so I thought she was my grandmother, so I called her grandma for most of my life, and then mama, and then come to find out that she actually was a great-great aunt by marriage.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so how old were you when you found that out?
Right about 16.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's crazy. Crazy.
And you know how you find things out? Obituaries. You know.
No way.
So I'm one of those people, first of all, I don't even know people's real names until they die. I don't know if anybody else experienced that. I'm like, oh, that was his name or that was her name. Because, you know. But yeah, through obituaries, I was just reading obituaries one day. I was like, wait a minute. How? What? And start asking questions, and they was like, yeah.
That's insane. So were you an only child? Like, how was...
So, no. My mother actually had two girls, but I was raised by another woman most of my life. I had some relationship with my mom. When I was younger, I experienced a lot of trauma, and so I was removed from that home, put into my mom's home, my grandmother's home, and... went through life angry as a young adult because I had so much trauma and didn't know how to talk about that trauma.
Right.
Didn't have anybody to, you know, black families. Shh, you don't talk about it.
Yep.
Sweep it under the carpet. It's gonna go away.
Yeah.
Take it to the Lord. Pray on it. You know, stuff like that. And so, you know.
Take it to the Lord, child.
I went through life angry most of my young adult years. And it wasn't until after I had my first child that I started making some peace with it.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Boy, season's greetings to you all from Menards.
Okay.
And a lot of that was because she was a girl.
Ooh.
It triggered a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
About that. That mother-daughter relationship.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, I wish I would have had this book like 26 years ago. It could have saved me a lot of heartache.
Yeah, for real.
So for those out there that have experienced trauma, you know, that have a daughter relationship or even a mother-son relationship, I believe this book can really help guide you, not only you personally, but you as a parent, and to help you be able to speak to your child intelligently, where you're not placing a lot of your fear and anxiety in them, because that's what I did.
Yeah, it's that generational trauma. We just keep passing it down because that's all we know.
Yeah. And later on in life, I found out that my mother had experienced something very similar. So it was just a continuation, right? But it stopped with me.
I know that's right.
I made sure.
There you go. Good job. Good job. I love that. So how did your upbringing and your family history shape your first ideas about like money, wealth, ownership, stuff like that?
So to be honest with you, I was robbing Peter to pay Paul when I first started out. I remember getting paid on a Thursday, and before Friday lunch, I was at the pay cash check holding place. I don't even know what you call those anymore. Like, I just got paid, but I need to borrow money for the next pay period. You know, type of thing. And what really triggered me to get out of that mindset was I said, in Jacksonville, Florida, because I used to work for the military, and I was stationed in Jacksonville, Florida, and I went to a NACA program to become a homeowner.
Okay.
And I sat there, I felt like 8 hours, and the lady came and told me, I'm sorry, we can't help you. And she was right. I mean, I was pissed. Believe me, I was pissed. I was mad. I cried. I was angry. And I don't like being told I can't have something. Like, that's just it. And so, but she was right. Mentally, financially, I was not there.
Okay.
I wasn't ready because I was still robbing Peter to pay Paul. I still had a lot of credit card debt. I still was buying, you know, I was a shopaholic. That was my drug of choice to cope.
Right.
With my trauma and all my mental issues, I shopped a lot, you know, give me nice, pretty stuff, make me feel good, right? Yeah. And I wasn't feeling good, but, you know, it didn't trigger.
Right.
Type thing. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to buy a home. And so the next 3 years, I quit shopping. I quit eating out. I quit going to happy hour. And I just paid off all debt so I could purchase my first home.
Wow. So your upbringing kind of had you doing the same things that your family was doing.
I mean, the times that I stayed with family or my mom or anyone, they had a new couch set every year. What's wrong with the first couch set, right? But since they got some money, a good lump sum of money, they got all new furniture. For what? In the same apartment. Oh, we're going to get this nice furniture. And of course, they went to the furniture stores that took advantage. Of the Black population, let's be honest, right? So it was probably rent-a-center, rent-own furniture that you paid five times the cost. And they would, you know, jack up finger hut bills.
Not the finger hut.
You know, so they were not really good stewards when it came to financial. They didn't have the education. You know, I remember seeing people get put out and their rent was $25 a month. How do you get put out?
It's not funny. I'm sorry.
I know. But it's like, how do you get evicted?
That's how bad it was.
When your rent is $25.
Yeah.
$25. And y'all, we talk about utilities included.
And you got food stamps and you don't pay for food. That's that generate. And it's like it's so many things we're going to talk about. Like, just so many things that were put in place so it would be that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Trey, can I see the comments?
Got questions?
Yeah. Okay. So what were the unspoken financial lessons that you absorbed as a child, especially like around risk, saving, and investing?
So my grandmother that I grew up with, if you went in certain rooms of the house, there was money that just would magically appear. She was the one that she put it in the mattress. Mm-hmm. She put it in like suit jackets,
mm-hmm.
you know, sock drawers. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, hide your money. Okay. Also, don't put it in the bank, right?
Yeah.
Don't make money. But keep the money. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
The other one is like invest in stuff to show people that you have money, but you really broke.
Mm.
You know, go out and get the most flashiest stuff, but then you worrying about how you're going to pay your phone bill, your light bill, how you're going to buy groceries, but you got that fancy car outside, but you live in projects. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, the women in my family were groomed to find dope boys.
That's a word.
They were groomed.
Yeah.
Get you a dope boy. That's fast money.
That's who got the money.
No matter if they beat your ass either. Get a dope boy.
Wait, now that right there. Yeah. The acceptance of the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Below the bare minimum, mm-hmm. just so you can have things.
Yep.
Damn. We messed up.
Some of us.
It's still like that, though, a lot.
Oh, it's still like that. Like,
yeah,
I go home and see the same people on the same corner was there 26 years ago.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, now it's four generations of you.
Yep.
Instead of one.
Sad.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It is.
Yeah. Wow. Dang. Yeah. So, that whole, it sounds like we all were raised in the same house. We was raised in the same house.
Yeah.
That's so unfortunate because it seems like if there was just one person that would like have like, no, we're going to do it this way. And we could like, how do we transform how that mindset got swept through the whole neighborhood into some, in another way? We could do it positively. I think the shift is happening slowly,
yeah.
but it's still just such a deep rooted curse.
It is. But education mm-hmm. is what saved me.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Yeah.
Like education is what saved me. If it wasn't on my mother's side, I was the first to graduate out of all my siblings, cousins, high school.
Oh, wow.
I was one of the babies of the group. Everybody, girls and boys, would get to 10th, 11th, sometimes senior year and just drop out.
That's terrible.
Either they had babies or, you know, they was in the drug life game mm-hmm. or they were just like, I'm not doing it.
That's sad.
First.
You broke the cycle.
I broke the cycle. I broke the cycle.
Look at God.
But I knew that if I wanted to get out, that was my way out.
Yeah.
Like I knew military was not an option for me. I'm not going to active duty. You know, some people, that's an option, right? For mm-hmm. them to get out. But I knew and understood education was the key.
Okay.
Yeah. And I thank God for that.
Yeah. I'm hoping. I think that this generation, too, is kind of more, they're leaning more towards education, but they're also leaning a lot towards entrepreneurship.
So telling my youth, like my children, education is not for everybody.
It's not.
Like,
it's all y'all slow. I'm sorry.
Well, it's not even that. I'm
sorry. They just don't.
But our generation, you know, they told us education, get you a good job. Yep. But so many people like myself and a lot of my friends, we did that, mm-hmm. right? But we hate our jobs.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I was in corporate America until 2024.
Mm-hmm.
No, 23. I left in 23. Hated my job.
Mm-hmm.
I had a nervous breakdown.
Oh, my God.
Like, really? I used to cry. And I work from home, y'all.
Oh, my God.
I work from home, but I used to cry because I just hated my job. And when I told people, like, I'm leaving corporate and I'm going to go into real estate, they thought I was crazy.
And I don't like that response because it's like, just because you couldn't do it doesn't mean that I can't do it.
Yeah. But peace.
Listen, you can't buy it.
Peace is so important.
Yeah.
And that's why I tell the youth now, find what gives you peace.
Yeah. And I think one thing that I find it difficult to kind of navigate with them is the delusion of certain things where we have the social media, you know, the influencers, the streamers and all that. I'm like, these are like once in a lifetime, like everybody can't do that. You might break through in that, but it's kind of like sports. You mm-hmm. might get in the NFL, but the chances, it's real slim. Mm-hmm. Like the percentages over on this side with electricians and plumbers and all that other stuff is a lot higher. And those jobs bring in a lot of money. So I like, go get a trade, do something that you do like, that's going to bring you money. But don't knock the 9 to 5, because that's going to help you get to be an entrepreneur, because it'll pay for it. But you can't. Sometimes I think they think right away, I'm going to be successful and it's just going to happen. And I don't have to do that much work.
So I will say the reason why I was able to be a very successful agent right away and build a team in the manner that I have is because I had that experience from the 9 to 5 that I could then apply.
Yes.
Right. So not saying that everyone has to bypass that 9 to 5.
Right.
But just make sure that's not your end game.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Go in there, get the foundation, figure out how they do stuff. Mm. Right.
There you go.
Learn from their mistakes. Yep. So when you do open up your business, you're not having to go and start making mistakes, which costs money,
mm-hmm.
right?
Ooh,
yeah. You can then just say, okay, this is how we need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be smart about it.
Yes.
So corporate America is not for everybody, but mm-hmm. I believe that you can learn things from corporate America. Oh, yeah. As an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
It takes a while as an entrepreneur to jumpstart. So I was still in corporate America for 2 years mm-hmm. when I started my real estate. So I made sure. And then prior to that, I had a little cushion saved up so that when I started, if things didn't go so smoothly or it took a little bit,
mm-hmm.
I can still carry myself.
Right.
And so many people don't do that. They just jump.
I'm gonna just go. All right.
And I love that. But you got to be okay with eating noodles every day and, you know,
yeah,
maybe not having heat.
Oh boy.
In the wintertime.
Oh Lord.
And you have to, you know, wear multiple layers and have be yeah. honest. You,
sacrifice.
Yeah.
You gotta be willing to sacrifice.
Can't have Starbucks. You can't go hang out
right
and do happy hour with your girlfriends.
There you go.
You can't go to the, you know, Chris Brown concert.
But see,
like
I think those are the conversations that need to be had, because it's all this glitz and glam that they see, and they don't look at, they don't get to see all of the crying at night, the sleepless nights, the grind. Like they don't get to see that part. They just see the end result and they think, oh, this is what I want to do. Yeah.
And you know, I had a conversation recently with my daughter, and she shared with me that she thought I was like the most perfect person. Wow. And that taught me as a parent that we mess up because we do not allow our children to see our failures. We yeah. don't allow them to see our struggle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so I would cry at night, but she didn't know,
right?
Because she was asleep. Mm-hmm. So now that she's an adult and she's out here in life trying to figure things out, mm-hmm. and she keep hitting walls, she's feeling like a failure because yep. she now thinks that I never had to hit those walls
yep.
because I did not show her
yeah.
and expose her. And so trauma, we have to sometimes allow people to see our trauma,
yes.
especially our children,
because
mm-hmm. one, it helps them identify, yeah. right? Two, it allows them to have that space, what you were talking about, mm-hmm. where you can have that communication.
Yeah.
Right? But three, it allows you to heal much sooner, right?
Yeah.
Because you're not keeping it in.
Yep.
So you getting your power, your confidence back.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I agree with you. I think that's one of the things that...
Let me just tell you, I love your book.
Thank you.
I wish I would have had it a long time ago, but I love your book.
I appreciate
like,
that.
I read, I was like, oh my God, what was this?
Yeah. Listen, I promise you. we needed it. Because me and my daughter, same thing. Like she said to me on the show that she's never seen me cry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, really? And you just don't even realize that you really, you never see, as much as I be crying, you never see me cry. No. And this really gives them this false, what they always saying, like this generation is always saying they anxious or they're depressed or because they are feeling like they are facing something that's unrealistic. Because we didn't show them like, no, we didn't just show up like this. It took a minute to get here and we went through some shit. So
yeah,
I agree with that. We definitely need to take the mask off and show them more of the grind and the struggle than we have been showing them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why do you think so many of us from disadvantaged backgrounds see home ownership or real estate as out of reach?
Well, let's go back. It's been out of reach from day one. The government had things put in place. The system
yeah.
was put in place so we could not own, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the process is intimidating. Like, yeah. I was talking to a client today and she was just like, this is so overwhelming. I'm like, get it? It's going to be overwhelming. It's the education. Just take it and go with it.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of clients that as soon as they hear a no, they're like, okay, I'm done. Mm-hmm. No, we're going to keep it moving.
Right.
I serve an amazing Lord.
Come on,
I'm
man.
Like, no, we're going to keep it moving. But a lot of people don't think that they can become a homeowner because society, the system
mm-hmm.
has told them that they can't, because guess what? They make money off of you as a renter, not as an owner. Explain something to me. Why can a person go out and get a credit card and don't even have a job? You know, they gave us credit cards on college campus. Didn't have a job.
No job.
No income whatsoever, but you gave me a credit card.
Right.
But you won't give me a house?
Yeah, the system is really flawed. Really flawed.
Because they make money off of what?
Debt.
You make money off of what? Ownership.
Ownership, yeah.
Let's think about it.
Yeah. And that's why I think like other cultures, they make sure that they're handing it down and it stays in the family and it's inherited. And that's why I think like, because I had a conversation a while ago, I won't say with who it was. And they pretty much were like, I don't want to own a house. Like my kids can figure it out when I'm gone. I'm like, oh, like that's how they get the money. That's how we keep passing it. That's how you get the generational wealth and you pass it along. Like, I don't understand. They're like, well, I don't want that responsibility of owning a house. Oh, this mindset gotta be shifted. Like, I don't know how to change that. I don't know how to fix that.
But you want the responsibility to help someone else's children build wealth, but not your own.
Like you're making somebody else rich.
Yeah. Your landlord. Children.
That aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Like you're living in stuff that doesn't even get maintained. They're not upgrading anything. They just taking your money and upping your rent every year for nothing.
So So people just don't understand the power of home ownership. And I talk to people about this. It's not even just about wealth. Mm. Let's just talk about, and we don't have to get political on if you're Democrat or Republican or whoever, right? Mm-hmm. But let's just talk about politics, far as when I go to that council meeting and I say my name is Terry Young and I reside at 123 Main Street and there's no apartment at the end of that, mm-hmm. people gonna shift. Hmm. They're gonna sit up and they're gonna listen because my tax dollars that I pay
yep.
go into your budget and pay for you.
Yeah.
So what I say carries more than what someone in an apartment says.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I tell people that all the time. I said, you want to be heard. If you're not happy with your local political arena, how they operate and what they're doing, become a homeowner. They'll listen.
Yes, they will.
It's powerful.
Yes, it is.
It's real powerful.
Yeah.
Even the chief of police will listen because mm-hmm. he understands those tax dollars that you pay in that real estate kind of comes over into his pot.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing. The other thing is there has been a lot of studies to show that children mm-hmm. perform better in school when they live in a home that their parents own.
I would definitely have to say
stability.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, they have that stability. They have that comfort. They have a place to call home. Yeah. They have that peace, right? So you're not happy with schools and you don't understand the school system. You think they can do better. Well, increase home ownership.
Mm. Mm. Y'all heard
Think it. About it. In the white neighborhoods, do you have a lot of apartments?
No. No.
And their schools what?
Top of the list. They're top of the list.
And they have more dollars because what?
The tax.
Those real estate taxes support.
Yeah. And you can tell, like, if you're going, I mean, obviously, when you're going through neighborhoods, where the tax, I mean, who's paying the taxes, the most taxes, where the home, you can just tell by the way things are kept. Mm. Lord. Y'all better buy a house.
Look. But I also talk to employers. Mm. This is a great retention. If you're having a retention problem, mm-hmm. bring me in. I'll talk to your people. If you help your employees become homeowners,
ooh.
Do you think they're going to show up to work?
They coming.
They going to
pay that mortgage, baby. They like
they got to pay their mortgage, they but like they like, house. You help me
become
a homeowner.
You invested in me.
You invested in me, so I'm going to show up for you.
Yeah. Now it feels like you care. Like, this is a team. It's not like
it I'm helps just, with retention.
It has to. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And then if they live in the community that's close to work, they're going to be on time.
I guess if they, I mean, it's funny that you say that because that's kind of like the military structure. Like,
exactly. Yeah,
you going to give me a loan to buy a house?
They like, okay, go get you a house. And we're going to tell you what to do for the rest of your life. And y'all show up and be okay with it because you got a house.
Listen, and you're going to pay for my house. You're going to buy, let me buy a house.
And give me a housing.
Sign me up. Yeah, absolutely. That's great. That's a great perspective when it comes to the civilian world and employees. I never thought about that. Mm-hmm. Listen, y'all better talk to y'all employers and like, listen, y'all need to step y'all game up. They need to be offering.
Hey, tell them to call me.
Look,
because simply they don't even have to pay.
You just go in
for me to go. I just go in and talk to people. And really educate them about the process. A lot of people don't understand that to become a homeowner, most times people do it in less than 90 days.
Mm.
When they have the right people, I sometimes get people in a house in 21 days after we sit down for our initial consultation.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a 1-2-3 step process.
Mm-hmm.
What some different milestones within each step.
Right.
But when you have the right team, makes it very smooth and go very easily.
Yeah.
It's not a hard process. It really is not. It could be frustrating.
Yeah.
It could be intimidating. But it's not a hard process. And you want to appreciate it if you don't have to go through a battle.
Well, yeah. I mean, even if it wasn't one, everybody would just have a house.
That part.
Okay, so how do experiences like evictions, foreclosures, or any type of housing insecurity...
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
The effect someone's willingness to invest in property.
So, people experience eviction, foreclosures for different reasons, mm-hmm. right? Most recently was COVID.
Yeah.
A lot of people have faced that. I have past clients that experience it because of medical reasons.
Mm.
So they can be blemishes, but blemishes go away after time, right? So there's ways to get around it. I know people that filed for bankruptcy that have foreclosure and still buy a house today.
Mm.
So that doesn't stop you. It just may delay it.
Okay.
From an investor standpoint, you look at basic supply and demand. I've evicted three people, but I also re-rented the property out. So right. It is what it is, right?
Yeah.
It's a pain in the butt. It's a hassle, but that's the name of the game.
Mm.
One person I evicted, she was great for the first 5 years. And then she lost her job and she couldn't pay it.
Right.
So unfortunately, I had to let her go.
Yeah.
But, God is the forgiving God,
mm-hmm.
and the system is too.
Mm.
When you got the right team, we just got to figure it out, put a plan in place. And like I say, you may not can do it today,
right?
But we can tell you when you can do it and you just be ready.
I think that's important. I think because people get so scared and they don't even go and attempt to try to figure out what they can do to fix it.
Oh my God. I talk to people all the time and they be like, well, I don't qualify. Who told you don't qualify?
Right.
And they'd be like, I just don't qualify. Did the lender tell you don't qualify? Qualifying yourself. Like, who does that?
Right.
I'm like, oh, okay. See, I'm that person. I will submit a resume to a job no matter if I qualify or not. You don't have to tell me that I don't qualify. I just say it.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest. Every employer is going to train you.
They are.
So, I have a piece of paper saying I went to college. I'm trainable.
Yeah.
Push it.
There you go.
Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like that mindset of like that scarcity mindset, just that's that generational thing where it's like, I ain't good enough anyway, so I'm not even going to worry about it.
So, I was just talking to someone the other day about this. We ask God for forgiveness, but we don't forgive ourselves.
You ain't lying about that.
Like, he already knew we're going to mess up.
Yeah.
We was born in sin, y'all.
Yeah.
We came in here messed
up. Right.
So he already knew we're going to mess up. Like, that's why Jesus Christ died on the cross. Because exactly. He already knew he was going to mess up.
Mm-hmm.
If he forgives us, we have to forgive ourselves.
Yeah.
And I could have had that mindset like, oh, I'm Robert Peter to pay Paul. I don't know how to pay bills. I'm racking up all this debt.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford to be a homeowner. No, it's called discipline and self-control.
Oof.
I figured out what I needed to do. Now, the difference between me figuring it out and people figuring it out today is you have a person like me that's knowledgeable that can tell you where I did it on my own. And it took me 3 years to do, where now when you get me, and I usually talk to people for free, you know, that's just me. I like giving knowledge. But when you get a person like me, it may be 6 months. It may be 18 months. You just never know. And then sometimes I get people, I'm like, okay, come on, we're going to talk to the lender. And the lender like, here's the pre-approval. They're like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. And then 45 days or less, they in a house. And they're mm-hmm. like, I cannot believe this. I did not think I was ready. I'm like, yeah, because you was disqualifying yourself.
Yeah, didn't even do no work, nothing. You just in your head.
But a lot of people just got to be willing to be disciplined.
Yeah.
I think that's the key. Like, believe me, it was hard. My friends was calling me like, you want to go to happy hour? And I was like, and they was like, the drinks are only $5. But I was like, yeah, but you know, when they $5, I'll be drinking. I'll be taking five of them. That's 25. Then you got to throw a tip in there. Right. And then who's going to drink and not eat?
Right.
So now you got to bring, you got to buy something to eat. And before you know, that bill is $50, $65.
Yep. Right.
And if you do that, what, four times in a week? That's $200.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That you could apply to a credit card.
Ooh.
Save interest. Mm-hmm. And make closer to become a homeowner.
Yeah. Discipline. That's the key. Discipline. So you talked about this earlier, but I'm going to ask it in a specific way so you can answer it head on. Mm-hmm. How does generational trauma, such as systemic racism, redlining, or lack of inherited wealth continue to shape how our community views real estate?
Oh. So, it's one of the big factors that keep us from becoming homeowners, because you see, you know, every time I go into a Black client's home mm-hmm. to list their house, I have to tell them, depersonalize, but you know what that means. Whitewash everything, mm-hmm. you know, remove all things that are Black, because redlining is not now on the front end, it's now on the back end during the appraisal process, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So redlining used to be up front, mm-hmm. where they used to do it directly up front. Oh no, you can't buy in this neighborhood, so you need to go over here.
Right.
So they don't necessarily do that now. What they now do, and it's been documented time and time again, yep. Dateline to everybody, to show that if someone goes into a home to appraise the value and they see that it's owned by a Black person, that appraisal value comes in low.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does that mean? That means that it's a lot of white people that do appraisals. That unfortunately have biases, and it shows, and the system allow that bias.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're experiencing. So I encourage a lot of people, like, you don't need a degree to be an appraiser. You just need a high school diploma. Mm-hmm. You don't need a degree. A lot of stuff in real estate, you don't need a degree. Even to be an agent, you just have to have a high school diploma.
Wow.
And be 18. And you can sell real estate, go to school and everything. So I encourage people to start looking at options outside of regular education, mm-hmm. picking up a trade or doing something like appraisal. We need more representation, not just for Blacks, but all minorities.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see too many non-whites appraising homes. I do know a couple of them, mm-hmm. but it's not a lot. So if we can get that representation, I think we can then tackle some of that, yeah. right? So a lot of people are very fearful of even trying to upgrade once they get into a home, because they're scared that it won't value, the value won't be there for them to upgrade, to go to the next home. So a lot of times people just stop with just that first home and don't want to move forward, or don't even want to take equity out to use it to then continue to build wealth.
Wow.
So that's some of the issues. It's education. I go back to it. I tell people all the time, this is why I built my business on C, serve, educate, and empower. Mm. And I see people where they at. When I see you where you at. Mm-hmm. And if you just want to be a one-time homeowner, I'm going to help you achieve right. that. But if you tell me you want to build wealth through real estate, mm-hmm. I'm going to help you build that roadmap so we can build wealth through real estate.
Right.
But it's going to be through education. Mm. And a lot of the education I do is based upon things I've done myself.
Right.
It's not, oh, no, no, no. So I hold workshops mm-hmm. every month for home buyers and for home sellers. Mm. Because what people don't realize and what I've noticed is there's a lack of education once you become a homeowner.
You know,
there's a lot of education that helped you become a homeowner. But once you get, so once you bought your home, did anybody teach you how to build more equity, how to protect that equity, and then how to maximize and leverage that equity?
No.
I do that. Because what people don't know or don't understand is that every year you continue to pay your mortgage, mm-hmm. the bank resells your mortgage in the second market. Mm. And the more equity you have, the prettier it is. So they make money off of you, mm-hmm. right? So they're making money off of you from an interest level. Mm-hmm. And now they're reselling that loan for 30 years, mm-hmm. probably 30,000 times. How much money they making?
Too much.
So they'll take they'll take a person who got equity of 200,000-300,000 mm-hmm. and package it with newer loans. Oops. That's okay. With newer loans that don't have equity, right? And make that package look nice and pretty so it will sell on the back market.
These rotten bastards.
So I teach people how to take that equity mm-hmm. and make it work for them and not allow the bank to continue to let it work for them and make money off of them. So that's my homeowners equity unlock workshop.
I never thought they really don't like you just got to kind of figure it out or
like and think about it. So during COVID, people lost their jobs.
Right.
You cannot tap into that equity because you no longer qualify for the loan.
Oh, that's crazy.
So literally, you had people sitting on $200,000 worth of equity in their home.
That is awful.
That they could not tap into because they could not qualify for a loan.
Oh, that's messed up.
So I teach people while you have the job, while you still qualify, let's tap into that equity. Mm-hmm. You don't have to use it.
Right.
You just put it over for a rainy day, but you have access. You already done pulled it out mm-hmm. and it's sitting there and you can tap into it. So when you wake up and your employer say you no longer have a job, you ain't freaking out. Mm. You're like, okay, let me use this equity to pay my bills or jumpstart my career mm-hmm. or do whatever until I can get to the next.
That's so smart. See, that's why you're here. That is why she's here, people. Look. Okay. What role? You know what? No, because you've already answered that. How do you personally define wealth beyond money?
Peace. So I was talking to someone the other day and they was like, I want to be happy. Hmm. And I'm like, happy is like this.
Yes, indeed.
It comes and go. Peace. Hmm. Is this. It's stability, mm-hmm. it's calmness. And when you have peace, mm-hmm. you have happiness, you have wealth, you have good health. Like, it just, it's a domino effect mm-hmm. in everything else. Peace is a great foundation, and finding that peace is really finding you and becoming okay with you.
Ooh.
And I'm going through that journey right now of finding me and being okay with me, because I've carried that trauma from my childhood for so long that I didn't like me. I felt dirty. I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel love. You know, I carried all of that.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, okay, who am I? I survived.
Yes,
I'm a survivor.
Yeah.
You know, I'm stronger than what people think. Absolutely. I'm stronger than what I think.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still here. It's crazy. I mean, I think about it all the time. I was suicidal at one point in time.
Oh, man. Wow.
Like, it's crazy.
I'm glad you're still here.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Even though some days are a little bit harder than others.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm grateful.
Absolutely. You're necessary.
Thank you. You're
absolutely necessary.
Everybody's necessary.
Yeah.
And I tell people that.
I don't know. President Trump had...
well,
Satan got some children around here that ain't necessary, but no.
You know, I think some people are necessary because for so long people hid behind those hoods. And those hoods have come off now, and people are standing really tall. And now you can truly see people for who they are.
Yes.
Like when he ran the first time, it was so hilarious. Some clients would be like, oh, I want to live over here. I'm like, oh, just go drive the neighborhood, check it out, because all the signs will go. You know, we couldn't say anything. I was just like, just go drive around. And people would be like, did you know I counted 26 signs? I was like,
wow.
I'm saying, yeah. And so you have a young Black son, and you want him to drive through that at night? Coming home and leaving.
Yeah.
Do you feel comfortable? That's something you have to figure out.
Yeah.
But I just tell people, I love it. Because you're not guessing. You're not trying to figure out who your enemy.
Tell me. Let me see. Please. I just want to see. I don't need to guess. Like,
yes.
Yep.
Show me.
Yeah. Please do. Because I can show you too.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
So what is your vision for breaking generational financial trauma for future generations?
So my vision is everyone own a piece of land. That's my vision. Like the person you were talking about that said they didn't even want to own property. They don't even want their child to get anything. And it's like, we as parents, it's our duty to make sure our children are set up for success. Home ownership does that. I'm teaching people now that instead of putting their children inside of dormitories in college, purchase property, have your child live in one of the rooms, rent out the other rooms, and allow someone else to build that equity for your child. So when your child graduate, you take that equity and gift it to them to purchase their first home.
Yep.
And it costs you nothing.
Because
someone else built it for you.
Yep.
People have been doing it for a very long time. It just hasn't been our people.
Be me.
So that's my thing. I mean, think about it. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. Mm-hmm. The value of land is talked about in the Bible. Like, not only that, land is so valuable that they literally built a system to stop us from owning.
Think about that. Wow.
Like, y'all literally had to go out and build a whole system so we could not own.
The very land that we built everything. That's crazy. The hate is real. Hate is real.
But yeah. I just encourage everyone to own a piece of land. Yeah. And I'm not saying each person needs to go out. Do it as a family. Do it as a unit. Yeah. Like, since COVID, I love where you see all these families just buying up land together, that they're just putting all their money in a pot together and just buying a piece of land and saying, this is our family land.
Yep.
Like, let's do that. We talk about a lot of the other cultures where they focus on making sure home ownership is key. Like, they will have 3 to 4 families in one house. Mm-hmm. They pay that house off and then move and buy the next house.
Yep.
And then that family will move in, you know, and they keep doing it and keep doing it.
Yeah.
And then they reach back out to the other country and bring some more family over. Like,
yes.
And before you know it, they own the whole neighborhood, the whole block. Yep. And I'm just like, why can't we do that? Yeah. Oh, I can't live with my sister. Why can't you live with your sister?
That trauma.
Like, why can't you live with your sister? I mean,
it's a major like factor with the unwillingness to sacrifice.
I remember going to Big Mama house. That was a 2-bedroom shack. 50 of us was in there.
On the floor.
Coat pile. Did you ever make a coat pile? Everybody slept on coats.
Yep. Yeah, listen. It was the best time. We had a ball.
We had the, like, parents would be up, drunk, singing, dancing.
Playing
we
cards.
Just in there.
Yeah.
Had the best time ever.
And now we can't.
No. It's like, we can't even be in the same room together. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, okay. So, 2 sisters can't live together. Somebody can get a job during the day and somebody can get a job at night and you're not even see each other.
Like, and it's temporary.
Yes.
It's temporary,
you know. And talk about house hacks. Mm. Okay, you can't live together. Get a duplex.
There you go. Yeah.
Get a duplex.
Yes. Yeah. It's sad. I actually went, one of my friends invited me out to this event. It was at this white person's, I'm going to say compound. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. So we're in this huge, like, it was like a log cabin type of house. And they had a lake and pool and all this stuff. And that was the parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
And along the lake, every house was their kids. Mm-hmm. I was like, how did they even know this was here? How did they even know they could do this?
And they, guess what? They all probably started in that first house.
Right.
Built each additional house.
Yeah.
And moved out.
Like, they literally have their own fireworks out there. Like, I'm like, that's generational knowledge. That's just being passed down and passed down.
And that's smart, because guess what? They got built-in babysitters.
Yes. They were all, it's like, oh, hold on, let me get my wife over here. I'm like, where you go? Oh, she's right here. I'm like, I got built-in babysitters. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, my brother's right there, my niece and nephew. I'm like, oh, that's
crazy. And if you only got one child, they got cousins.
Yeah.
That could be siblings. All you right ain't even got work.
Yeah.
I said
that is the goal right there. That was dope.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got my last 2 questions for you. I ask every guest to come on my show these same 2 questions, okay? So first one, what is the best advice you've ever received?
Oh. Best advice. I would have to say to put the mask on you before you apply it to others.
Save yourself. Yeah. Save yourself.
And people, I took that at a deeper because it's more of, you got to love yourself. And I think that's where a lot of people are walking around this world hurt and angry because they don't love themselves. But you got to love yourself in order to love other people and for people to love you, because you have to show people how to love you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if you're not loving on yourself, how can somebody else love you? And then how can you love somebody else?
Yeah.
So I'll say that was the best.
That was good. I like that. Last question. What advice would you give 15-year-old Terry?
To never stop dreaming.
Yeah.
To never stop dreaming. The dreams help me escape. The dreams motivated me. The dreams turn into goals. The dreams became a fascination for me. The dream became the fire that burned within me.
That's good.
The dream became the vision. So if I never dream, I wouldn't have any of that.
Absolutely.
So continue to dream. I used to have nightmares. So dreams are very powerful. So I had nightmares. Dreams were peaceful, were calming, were safe. Keep dreaming.
Keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. Yes, you are phenomenal.
This is phenomenal.
Thank you.
If you all have not purchased this, please go out and get it.
Thank you.
I want to send this to a couple people. Like, seriously. And the people that I think of that could benefit from this, it's probably women's shelters, prisons, women prisons. I think this is a good piece for them. And I like the vocabulary that you used in it, that it's relatable. It's not intimidating. And when you're talking about trauma, a lot of times people use vocabulary that's very intimidating. And so this was very simple, but powerful at the same time.
Thank you. That was the goal. Thank you. I appreciate that so much. Like, I really do. I really do. Because it was really hard to write that book. It was really hard.
You actually have inspired me. People have been asking me to write a book. And I was like,
You should.
I have problems because my story is other people's story too.
Mine is too.
And I, you know.
Just so you know, my mom doesn't speak to me anymore because of the book. Actually spoke to my therapist yesterday about that. And, you know, we had to talk through some things with that. And that's not my responsibility.
Thanks for sharing that with me.
If it helps other people, that was my goal. And here we are.
God is good.
He is.
He brought you into my little real for a reason.
Absolutely.
I am so grateful that I met you.
I'm grateful I met you too.
Like the energy was on point that yeah. day. So
it was. It was.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Okay. Thank you.
I want you to let people know how they can find you, follow if you got your workshops, how they can get anything. That's your camera right there.
All
you can
right.
just let them know.
Okay, everyone. My name is Tara Young. You can actually find me at Z3 Carolinas on Facebook, Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn as Tara Young. I'm also known as Tara Young, Divorce Your Landlord. And I'm not just talking about the physical landlord, but we always talking about the mental and the financial landlords as well. So I used to have a little radio station called Divorce Your Landlord.
Okay.
So you can reach out to me. You can text me at 980-231-1428, or you can email me at Terry, T-E-R-R-I, at Z3Carolinas.com. And just to let you guys know, Z3 stands for all three of my children have a Z name. This is their legacy I'm building. And I do help people not only purchase and buy and invest in real estate in the U.S., but around the world, and I'm licensed to sell in Ghana as well.
Now, why'd you just say that? Now, you, Terry. Now, why you just tell me I'm going to Ghana in December?
Oh, girl, come on, let's go. Yeah.
You know, God, be working. Okay, we definitely got a lot to do. We got a lot of work to do.
I got a workshop coming up this month to talk about purchasing in Ghana. So, Terry, listen,
let me talk to Terry. Y'all can't know. Get out of our business. Y'all know who I am. I am Didi Leggett, a.k.a. The Court Queen. I appreciate y'all for tuning into another episode of The Court Queen Chat. We had an amazing episode today. So what I need y'all to do, I need y'all to subscribe to the YouTube channel, like this particular video, make a comment, share it with your people, subscribe, turn on the notifications so you know when we're live every Wednesday, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. We're here every Wednesday, y'all, unless I tell y'all we're not. I need y'all in the building. Well, in the comments anyway. And also, I need y'all to follow me on all social media platforms. Didi Leggett, wherever you can find me. The Core Queen, wherever you can find me. And purchase my book, Breaking the Cycle of Childhood Trauma. I wrote this book. I poured out my heart, my life, my soul. Please purchase this book so we can get on the bestsellers list. You can get it on Amazon, or you can get it on my website, thecorequeen.com/book. If you buy it on my website, I can sign it for you and send you some cute little trinkets.
I can get a signed copy.
She here like I can't sign a book. Y'all see that? Crazy. These black people. No. Okay. Make sure y'all get the book. Tell people about the book. It is really a great book, and it has a lot of great tools in it to help you guide through your motherhood, childhood, any traumas you have, even if you don't have a daughter, if you have a son, it is a really good book with good tools in it. So make sure you tell your people about the book. I have a lot of things coming up. So y'all follow me on social media to keep up with me. Y'all know it's my birthday month, right? Y'all know I show off my birthday. I got my annual photo shoot coming up. So I can't wait to drop it so y'all can see it. Y'all know I go crazy every year. So y'all stay tuned for that. It'll drop this month. And I'm also finally going to drop my short film. I know y'all been waiting. I'm finally going to drop it this month. So y'all stay tuned. I don't know what day I'm going to drop it on, but I'm going to let y'all know it's finally going to be released. We have been accepted and winners of 6 film festivals throughout the year. Thank you. So I'm excited about that. And we are in the talks to drop a full feature film based off of the short film in 2026. So I got a lot of work to do, y'all. So y'all bear with me, and I'm excited to have y'all support every step of the way. And I'll see y'all next week. Will be episode 75. Ooh. It is the final episode of season 3. I'm going to take a couple weeks off, and then season 4 will be crazy. But y'all, next week, we have a powerhouse panel coming on. We got my girl Ramona Gaines. We got Christian Winters. If y'all don't remember Christian Winters, y'all need to come back because that man is... Ooh. And we got my girl Kim Johnson. So y'all come back. We got a powerhouse panel. We're going to talk all childhood trauma with finances, church hurt, anything you could think of, any type of trauma, we talking about it. And y'all know Christian was a pastor. Ramona is a pastor. Kim is a pastor. So we're about to get into it, okay?
Ooh.
Make sure y'all tune in and let your people know about it next week.
Not the church.
We're about to talk about it. And folks might be mad, but y'all know I don't care. But I'll see y'all next week. We out. We'll be right back.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Four seasons greetings to you all.